Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Episode 4, Playing Around with Paige Renee.
We're still doing this.
Well, we're still not canceled, but we might be canceled, but we never know, right?
We never know.
Maybe they just turn... I mean, no one's in the room with us, so maybe they just turn on the... Say, go ahead, guys, and then they just burn tape and then throw it in the garbage.
Yeah. Well, I actually want to thank, like, everyone who's been, like, reaching out and sending me so many really positive and encouraging messages. This is something that was very scary for me, and I've had a lot of anxiety around it, and so to... This is new. I've never done this before, and I'm just so used to, you know, like Instagram and Twitter. And so to like do this and to talk and have people judge my opinions and what I have to say. And it's been really scary for me, and something like I'm not good with change. I like everything to be like right in order. And like I know what I'm doing every single day. And so for this, it's been really nerve wracking. And so like, thank you so much everyone for all of like the really kind comments. It means a lot to me. And you know, like with this podcast, something I really want to do is just make it really fun and light, but also talk about things that really matter to me. And not just that, but like talk about the hypocrisy in golf and how hard it is to be a woman in this industry. And you know, I think we haven't covered a lot of that. And there's a lot of topics that really matter to me that people aren't even talking about because I think they're scared to talk about it. And there's so much that I still want to keep doing. And so like, keep on listening. That's basically what I'm saying. Yes. Is like, subscribe. But I think it's just nice that people have been really like welcoming and like opening to this new venture of mine.
Well, and I'm going to be honest, it threw me for a loop. Like last time we talked, and we've talked about, you know, the nude.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did not know it. I did not know it was there. And you dropped that on me. And I just really wanted to hear you talk. I mean, yeah. that was what you wanted to say. But I was chipping concrete, which is a mindless job, right? I was just chipping away some concrete at my build. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was thinking about there is no equivalent for guys that the stuff that what you went through, you know, someone sharing pictures and lying about you. There's no real equivalent to guys. Girls used to happen to girls in high school where guys would say they had sex with them.
Yeah. And it never happened.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden this girl's a slut from Monday to Friday. And I just wanted to like recognize, I don't know how to help, but I want to recognize. And I think that we all got to take a minute before we rip Paige and her Instagram swing apart, that this is something that guys and this guys are listening. We don't really have to do. So it's not an equal, there's no way to even it out. And so I seriously thought about it all day, and then I went home and I talked to my daughter is 15, mm-hmm. and her friend is staying over, who's 16, and I told them, I was like, you guys, this is what happened. And they went, ugh, like they weren't surprised at all.
It's so normal, which is so sad. It's like, it's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen.
Right.
And it might not be a picture, but it could be, like you said earlier, like if a guy wants to hook up with you and you say no, and then they go around and tell everyone that you had sex with them. Or in my case, I know we were laughing about it, but the rumor that I had crabs, like,
right,
that happened because of that. And we joked about it, but that really sucked.
Yeah.
That everyone thought I had crabs. Yeah. And I like had to transfer colleges. Like, it was a huge, like, it's still really fucking funny, but like,
is that really why you transferred colleges?
There was a ton of things. Like, there were a ton of rumors going around, like, that I had crabs, I got pregnant, I had like STDs, like all of this really crazy stuff. And I'm like, I was this homeschooled kid that came into college and I didn't know what alcohol was. Like, I had like only kissed a boy. Like, I just didn't know any of this stuff. And then so it'd be like thrown into, like, I don't know, the wild, basically.
Well, it's like, it was prison. Yeah.
I mean, it was like shocking, especially like U of A, like they're professional partiers. Yeah. And I like didn't know. And so like in college, my first semester, I was like really straight laced. I have a really funny story. This is how innocent I was.
Oh God.
So
homeschool innocence. This is going to be good.
So I was like, still, I got my driver's license actually pretty late too. And so I was always the DD for all my friends. And so we were driving around, it was late at night, and I was driving everyone home, and I stopped at a stop sign and I didn't stop for long enough. So, you know, they kind of rolled on through, but I still stopped. And so all of a sudden I turn the corner and I see lights go up behind me.
Yeah.
Freaking out. I'm like, I've never been pulled over before. This is my dad's car. He's just letting me use it. Like, I have, you know, like drunk girls in the back and like they're all older. I want to be cool. And like, I'm literally freaking out. And so the cop pulls me over. He's like, ma'am, have you been drinking tonight? And I burst into tears and started crying. And I was like, yes, officer, I have.
What?
Just wait.
Oh, no.
And so he takes me out and he does everything. I had to like walk in the line. I had to like touch my nose. And they brought out the other, there was two officers. I don't know, maybe he's like training her, but they were just like the backup. And so he was like kind of laughing at me and like brought the other officer out. Because I was like nailing everything because I was sober. And so I was like walking down the line and doing all this stuff. And he was like, you have had alcohol. And they made me do a breathalyzer. And it's like, it was zero. And I was like, yes, officer, I've been drinking water.
Oh, my God.
And they just died laughing at me. Like, they were cracking up. And I'm just like this 18-year-old, like, homeschooled kid who had no idea what was going on. I'm crying. And I get in the car, and everyone's just, like, dying laughing at me. So that was, like, that was the first weekend in college for me.
Oh, that is, look at my little precious girl. It was my little 18-year-old. Oh, my God.
Oh, it was bad.
Hilarious. Okay.
Yeah.
So then, okay.
So then I was, like, good. And then
I guess you don't learn that in homeschool.
No, you don't. I mean, and like I've still have never done drugs, but like my mom made me take like a drug class, and like she's one of those moms, like she's really, really cool. Like I love my mom more than anything. But like we've never talked about sex. Like she's like open about it, but we just never talked about it. And like even the alcohol, like she was like, if you drink underage, you're going to jail. Or like if you do this, then you're going to get pregnant. Even like now she's like, if I'm on antibiotics, she's like, do you take your birth? Your birth control goes down if you have this. And like, all it's just, she's just like, I don't know. She's like weird
little
about that
stuff. Fear of God. Yeah. Fear of God.
Freaking out.
So your high school homeschooling wasn't like, you didn't get proper sex ed.
No.
Or, oh well, my God.
And I didn't have like a lot of friends my own age either. So like, I would just go to the driving range and hang out with all these old guys. And so like... It was literally like me and like all these 80-year-old men, and I'd be like, "Hey Howard, how's life?" And he's like, "Are you like
I can't get it up. Like, you don't know what that means, so I can say it."
He is literally like that was my whole life. Like I was homeschooled from fourth grade until college.
Wait a second. At like 15, 16, 17, weren't you crazy to talk to people your own age?
No, because like. I was an elite gymnast, so that means that I was at the highest level you could be in gymnastics.
That's what elite means. Like, are you like doing quotations?
They have levels. Okay, so it's okay, like level like, 4, 5, yes. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then after 10, it's elite.
Yes.
And so all of like, if you go to the Olympics, like you're an elite gymnast. And so I got to that level, and That's why I started to be homeschooled in the first place.
Right.
And so my whole life was always to get to the Olympics or be an athlete. I ended up fracturing my kneecap twice and I quit.
Right.
And so after that, I also have like really bad like social anxiety and really bad anxiety. And so like by the time I quit, I was like going into middle school and my mom was like, we're not sending her to middle school. Like she will literally be like eaten alive.
Well, super, super smart on that part because yeah. middle school was like watching my daughter go through middle school was yeah. like.
But I just like.
Mowgli.
So like I didn't get that in middle school. I got it in college. So it was nice. Just it still happened. It just happened later on. And so even like in high school, I went to like only one school dance and my mom was like so nervous the whole time. And he like took me to like a party after and I told him to leave because I saw a drunk person. And I was like, people like freaked me out. I don't know. I just thought it was so bad and so weird.
How do you solve a problem like that? You were a total nun.
Yeah, I was really, really bad. And oh so like God. I wouldn't go out on like dates and like I.
But didn't you want to like feel like you wanted to kiss somebody? I mean, like remember the hormones when you were a teenager?
No, like that was like the weird thing. Like I was just so driven. Like I wanted to be successful. And I also like I'm really scared of my parents. Like I they're the sweetest people ever. And like I really want to have them on the podcast because they're hilarious.
Well, I believe since it's your podcast, I think that could happen.
Yeah. But like they've always instilled in me that not that being average is bad, but you always want to strive to be the best that you can be. Sure. And so I feel like I always seek people's approval and like I'm always like never good enough. And so like I'm always wanting to do everything I can for them.
Oh, can we? So am I going to be able to be there to confront them or are we going to go?
No, it's and we've had a lot of I resented them for like a long time. Like once I went to college and I like experienced life, I was like, what were you guys like? How did you never teach me this? Or like, how did I never have like a normal life? And I resented them. Now I don't. Yeah. Like, cause I grew up and I was like, they weren't sheltering me. They were just holding me to a higher level. Like they wanted me to be successful and they were giving me all these opportunities and they wanted me to take advantage of it.
Sure.
And so now like my sister's successful and she, you know, she went to Stanford and you know, like I'm doing what I'm doing. And so like it's paid off.
Yeah.
But there was a time in college where I really didn't like my parents. Like I didn't want to talk to them. I resented them. I hated playing golf. I was like super depressed. I was drinking all the time. I was like a big party girl and I hated myself because that was like everything I was not supposed to be.
Right. Well, you were searching for an identity.
Yeah.
But it was through reaction instead of action, right? You were doing the things that your parents always warned you about. Kissing boys in a bathing suit is going to get you pregnant.
Yes.
Didn't work though, did it?
No.
No, because they lied to you. It's not how you get pregnant.
I didn't know. I literally had no idea. And so, like, I think a lot of people who knew me in college are really surprised to see me now and be so, like, it's not that I've changed. I just went back to who I was originally. Like, I am actually I'm super boring. Like, I don't go out. I don't drink. I don't even really, like, cuss that much. And, like, when I do, like, my mom gets mad at me. It's just, like, everything I do is just very normal and boring and straight laced. And like, so back in college, I was this like crazy party girl, a bit promiscuous. Like I just like wanted to do everything I could and like have so much fun. And so I think like a lot of people now, I like run into people I went to college with and they're like, what happened to you? Like you're a completely different person.
Well, yeah. Okay. But to be fair and go a little easy on yourself. I mean, a freshman at U of A is the same as a freshman at UC Santa Barbara. And it was Girls Gone Wild. And I mean, some of that was their first time on their own. Some of it was that they'd been repressed forever. Some of them were figuring it out. And I don't believe that means anything other than what it was. And that was a phase. But the other thing is what's funny is that you're like, I'm boring because I don't drink and I don't cuss. But that doesn't make you boring.
Well, I think it's because I never really feel like I fit in with anyone.
Oh, let's do that. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Let's
so like there. My entire life, I've always felt very different. And so I don't relate to my peers that much. And I I don't have a very strong personality in the sense that, like, if I'm in a group of people and I have a strong opinion about something, I'm going to say it. If everyone's agreeing on it, I'm also going to agree on what's happening because I don't like confrontation.
You're
going
to forego your opinion to be in the crowd.
Yeah. Okay. And like, I will just kind of adapt to whatever crowd that I'm in at the time or like who will accept me. And that's kind of always happened. Like, I have never been like a leader. I'm more of a follower. So it's weird that I'm doing what I'm doing now because of like how I was growing up. Like, I always had like a pretty popular friend, but I was always like the sidekick, or I was always kind of like the person who was always in the background. And I think if you meet me too in person, like, I'm very shy and I do have a lot of social anxiety, and I'm not like, if I walk into a party, I'm not gonna be like, I'm here, you know, like some people are just like that. Like, they own a room, and I'm not like that at all. But if you get me one-on-one, I'll tell you my whole life story. Okay. To people on a podcast as well.
We're going to tell you a whole, and we're going to start with that. I have so much more because this is like, I'm totally going to dive, but we got to pay the bills.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Okay. Are you comfortable?
I'm very comfortable.
I'm going Dr. Ruth, Dr. Phil. I'm going every Dr. J. I'm going so.
Isn't Dr. Ruth the sex?
Sex? Okay. Yes. She's the little German woman.
Okay.
Is she German?
Let me Google it.
Mr. Tori, we need. So.
Wait, Dr. Ruth?
Yes, Dr. Ruth.
Can I also just say that I'm giggling still because I held a paper up to give a signal cue to Josh and he was like squinting at me. I can't read it. I'm like actually crying.
Isn't that funny?
So old. I'm cute.
I'm literally twice producer Tori's age.
So Dr. Ruth is, where's she from? So we're looking her
where
up.
Is she from? Russia? Germany? I said Germany.
No, I think she's.
Wait, what's that like that sex book people always talk about?
She's from Germany.
Yes,
did she
thank
write
you.
That?
Yes, that's she wrote what? A billion of them.
What's it called?
Like 90 years old.
I wanted to call it Sigma
Dr. Ruth Sex After 50.
What's it called?
Dr. Ruth Sex After 50?
No, it's like a weird, I don't know.
Kama Sutra?
Yes!
Oh my.
Sigma Nu. Same thing.
The sex called Sigma Nu. Oh. Oh. Oh, oh,
my cousin was a Sigma Nu, and he is going to be very happy that you just said that.
Oh, wait, what's it called?
Kama Sutra.
I'm and honestly no, Googling and, what that means.
No, and
it's
not,
a sex book, right?
Yes. Okay. It's like 500 years old. It's like it's Indian. Actually, look up how old the book of the Kama Sutra is.
Is it like Bikram yoga, basically, but just scarred. Like with two people?
Yeah, it's like yoga sex.
Yeah, I'm scarred.
Kama Sutra.
I went to images.
Oh no!
I did Sigma Nu, and then I did images.
Oh,
it got bad.
It got dark real fast.
You guys,
what is it?
I'm crying.
400 BC.
So people have like.
So I said 400, 600 years. That's like 2,500 years.
Well, I mean, people have been having sex like a lot from the very beginning of time.
Not 400 BC.
Yeah, but not from your mom. Like, not from your homeschooling. You didn't get that.
Classic Sigma Nu.
Oh my God!
Such a Sigma Nu. Such
a Sigma Nu. Anyways, we got off track.
Yeah, where were we going?
You have a lot of questions.
Okay,
for her.
I do. I have a lot of questions. Well, first of all, like,
oh yeah, you're about to be Dr. Ruth on me.
Dr. Ruth, Dr. Phil, Dr. J, all okay. The doctors. Dr. Zhivago. So I want to slowly like sort of work out. You keep saying how odd you are,
yeah.
or not, you don't fit in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first thing I want to do, and you can just shut me down if you want.
Okay.
But I knew, you know, I did my research on you before, and you were a gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
And not only were you a gymnast, you were elite. And
yeah.
there is like 0.001% of you in the world at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ever changing. I mean, it's always cycling out. You went to the ranch.
I did go to the ranch. I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, so
he was there. The Caroli Camp.
Caroli Camp.
Which was in Texas. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are aware of Larry Nassar and what he did to all of those girls.
Yes.
And
the accomplices.
The gymnastics community is very toxic. I mean, they you just do what they say, no matter what. And it's really scary, but I rolled my ankle really bad at camp there, and he wrapped my ankle, but nothing happened to me. And that, I like think back on that moment and how lucky I was to get out of there without being sexually abused. But no, he didn't do anything to me. So growing up, I was never sexually abused.
And I actually kind of figured that. I did figure that. But when you're in a social environment like you were, and by the way, you were by yourself, right?
Yes.
Your parents weren't there.
No
so
parents.
So you were
allowed.
Living at the ranch with this happening around. I'm glad you were touched, but that was in.
But I knew a lot.
That
of
was the mentality. That
no,
was the
I knew
energy.
A lot of the girls, and I only went to the camp once because after that I was like, I'm done. But those girls would go once a month or even more when nationals would be coming up, and so it's. I think we can talk about that a lot in another episode, but to answer your question, no, I was not sexually abused by Larry Nassar.
Okay, that wasn't that, and I'm sort of veering through. So
yeah.
At a very transitional age in a girl's life,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's just physically, I don't act like I know what I'm talking about, except that I do know that at 12, you're physically going through a whole lot hormonally, and you're now by yourself at this place, expecting you're the elite. You have a shit ton of pressure on you. To perform.
Mm-hmm.
Where, tell me a little bit about what it was like to be that 12-year-old.
It's, you know what? I cried every day. I hated it. I hated every second of it.
You were never going to quit.
I was never going to quit. My parents actually forced me to quit because they saw how unhappy I was. And they said, we're just going to take a break, like a week break, see how you feel. And so after that, I took a day off and I'm like, I'm never going back ever again.
What was it about that?
I was in the gym almost 7 hours a day, 6 days a week from 10 to 12 years old. And so all I knew was to go in, work hard, shut up and don't cry. And there was a lot of things that happened with like mean girl issues where I was always the odd person out. Like, the girls would spit in my drink. I gave them birthday cake. They threw it away in front of my face. They all got matching socks, and I didn't get a pair of matching socks. And so, like, from that time, I never felt like I fit in. I didn't have, like, a group of friends. And so after that, I went straight to being homeschooled. And so I didn't have I had girls that I played golf with, but again, I didn't feel like I fit in with them.
Well, also, and the other thing is, because I want to stay there, is because the girls you played golf with also wanted your competitors. And yeah. you had not only the urge, but you were also being trained to win, to beat everybody else. And those girls probably had the same thing. So that's not necessarily friends.
No, it's definitely not. And, like, there are a couple girls that I have made like, really great friends with through golf. But for the most part, it was very competitive. And it's hard to bond with someone who you, like, you need to be. And, like, I also, at that time, we didn't have a lot of money. So I had to get a college scholarship. And so there's a lot of pressure on me to, like, get a college scholarship and, like, be successful and to just live up to all these expectations that I had. I think I put a lot of it on myself, but a lot of it was coming from other people as well. Not just my parents, but, like, coaches and people in my life, because, like, I've always had the physical ability to be great, but I don't have the mental capabilities. And so, but I like, thinking back on it, I don't think that, like, I'm sure gymnastics in, like, growing up being homeschooled and golf has all shaped who I am. But even before that, I've never felt like I fit in. Like, I've always just felt like I always feel like I'm walking in the wrong direction or swimming upstream. And it's like, I've never, like, it's really hard for me to connect with a lot of people. And, like, even now that, like, I don't drink or I don't go out, I always feel like an outcast. Like, the way I think, the way I go about my business, the way I do everything, it's just always been very different than everyone else.
Give me an example of that feeling.
I think a lot of it has to do with my anxiety. Okay. And I'm just a real overthinker. So when I'm in a social situation, I more like to observe, and people will be talking about things. I think it really happened a lot in college, where we would be having conversations and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, get me out of here. Like, I don't relate with any of this. It doesn't interest me. I don't want to be here. I don't fit in. And so I would, like, try to, like, say things to, like, fit in, but I think they could tell. And I was always kind of like the weird kid, or like the one that never fit in, or I'm a real loner. And I don't mean that in, like, a bad way, but, like, I would much rather just be alone at home than with a bunch of people. And I think that's one, because of my social anxiety, because I don't, like, I get so nervous around other people. Like, before I go out to do anything, I have a full-on panic attack. I like, my whole body starts shaking. I can't breathe. I have to, like, lie down. Like, it's a whole thing. And so I think I'm just used to that feeling all the time before I go out. So then I just don't go out. Or, like, interacting with people, it's just so uncomfortable for me at times. Mostly, like, larger groups around people my own age. And I never feel like I'm saying the right thing. I'm doing the right thing. Like, that people like me. It's always, like, this feeling of, like, one, not being good enough, and also just, like, not fitting in ever.
Okay, so let me ask you a day in the life right now with you, Paige.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you leave the house on a weekly basis? Sorry. At night, not for, like, golf or not for work, but at night, how often do you leave the house?
On a weekend, never.
No, weekly. Why never on a weekend?
Well, because I don't like being in, like, crowded places with, like, loud music.
But what,
like,
if you just did, like, a romantic dinner or a movie?
I get really over, like, when there's a lot of things going on, I get really overstimulated with, like, the sounds and the lights. And, like, I'll be in a movie theater and say, like, the previews go up and everyone starts, like, laughing or, like, clapping. I just start, like, crying. Like, it's just so overwhelming for me that I can't handle it. Or if, like, I'm in a sports arena, like, I'll just start crying out of nowhere. And, like, people always talk about how emotional I am, and it's something I can't control. Like, I don't want to be the cry. I don't mean known as being, like, a crybaby or, like, emotional, but I can't control. And so I've been to a lot of doctors And they were doing neurofeedback on me. So they connect it to my brain and they watch it, how it kind of fluctuates. So the best way the doctor described it is that...
Is it MDR? What is it?
I did it a long time ago when I was like...
Where they watch the...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. My wife did it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just know it's like neurofeedback. Yes. So,
And it actually is... For trauma, it's like a PTSD. It's something that you experienced in your past.
Yeah. And so we would do like a lot of training sessions. But basically what he said is that I hyperfocus or I get too intense. And so like my brain is normal and it just looks fine in the back. It looks like everything else. And then all of a sudden I'm fine. And then all of a sudden it starts to look like a bowl of spaghetti. Everything twists and turns and kind of like gets jumbled up. And then that's when I cry. So it's not... If I'm happy, sad, angry, it comes out in tears for me. And so people always make fun of me for that. But it's like, I literally cannot control it. Like, it's just something that happens. And it could be from nothing. It could be in a sports arena when people are cheering. All of a sudden, I just can't. I get short of breath. I can't breathe. And all of a sudden, I just cry.
Okay. So you've had it looked. You've had doctors study that. Have you had any... psychiatrists or any psychotherapy feedback?
Yeah, so I've been to a lot of sports psychologists because this has really affected, obviously, my golf career. I can't even fucking play because I'm like crying every third hole because like a bear crawls by and I'm like, where's the baby bear? Like, I don't know. Like, I find everything so emotional, but so now you guys know why I didn't make the tour.
Jesus.
So it's been a journey. So I've been to a lot of sports psychologists and honestly, like, nothing has really helped me because I'm not like, I don't feel like I'm like messed up, you know. I just can't control this, and like there's things that have happened to my life that have been very traumatic and I kind of suppress all of that, but nothing. A lot of people have gone through so much worse than me and I mean, they can still handle it. There's just something like chemically about me where like I just can't function normally like everyone else.
I disagree, Paige. I don't know. You can never put yourself in anyone else's shoes. And you are very well. I know hard parents. My dad was the hardest parent, right? Like, I know what you went through. You have this idea that ultimately it's on you because it's you. So take it easy for a second and just say, you did just tell me I have trauma that I've suppressed. Like, that's what that is, right? Yeah. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not, but I'm telling you, there's that.
Yeah. So, in college, when I was going completely crazy party girl, it was my senior year of college, and I went through like the worst depression I have ever been through. I couldn't get out of bed. I was just like miserable. I couldn't talk to anyone. It just all hit me, like everything. I just didn't want to deal with life anymore. And so they put me on antidepressants and that really messed me up.
Which ones?
I can't, you know, honestly, it was so long ago. I can't even remember.
Okay.
And I don't want to say the wrong brand.
Sure.
I was on it. And of course, being an idiot, I was still like going out and drinking and everything, being on it. And it really messed me up. Like, it really messed me up. And after that, I had a moment where I was like, this is gonna be hard to say, but I was standing on top of this huge parking structure and I just looked down and I said, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna jump. And I stood there and I was looking at it and I said, not gonna do it. So I'm tearing up a little bit, and it's not because that was a moment that like makes me sad. It's just like, it's an overwhelming topic for me to discuss, and that's why I cry. So it's not like that, like that's what happens. And so like when I get emotional, it's just because I'm overwhelmed with the situation. It's not because of anything other than that. And so after that moment, when I like looked down, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I made a decision. I was like, I'm going to switch my life around. So I stopped drinking. I stopped going out. I got off of the antidepressants and I just focused on working out and like getting back to like the person I was before college. And that was like a huge thing for me where I like changed everything around. And so people ask me why I don't drink. And that's the reason why I don't drink anymore. Like I still will drink from time to time. Like it's not that I had a problem with it. I just didn't like the person I was in that time in my life when I was drinking.
Yeah, it was a path and you tried a path and it didn't work because it went down a different way.
Yeah. And so like now with my anxiety and my depression, I just try to handle it head on. So I feel like a lot of people will like self-medicate. I didn't want to do that anymore. Like I wanted to just like experience it, handle it. And so I don't see a therapist. I'm not on anything. I do take CBD and that has helped me a lot. A lot. So I'm with Medterra and I use all of their product and that is, it's like changed my life, honestly. But I use that, but it's like not drinking, like not making bad decisions and like being fully aware. Obviously the CBD has helped, like eating right. Eating is a huge part of my anxiety. Like if I eat a lot of sugar, that really affects me. So I try not to eat a lot of sugar and then working out. So like if I do that, my anxiety is manageable. Not when I say manageable, like I'm going to have a panic attack probably like only once a day instead of like constantly in this like fight or flight. Like I'm freaking out. And then my depression will come and go depending on like what's happening in my life, but it's not like a constant everyday battle anymore.
So did you climb to the top of a parking garage for the idea that that was it?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
And so now
how that was just the first time too.
There was more time.
Yeah. So we can talk about this later.
You keep telling me that I got to talk about this stuff later.
Yeah. We've got a lot of episodes. Okay, we don't need to tell everyone, but Dubai, my very first pro event,
when all the shit,
the night
wrong.
Before the first round, I locked myself in the bathroom, was just trying to find anything I could just to like not deal with tomorrow because I didn't want to deal with it. So that's a whole nother story and a whole nother part of my life.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on.
We can talk about that. But that was like the second time. But there was like a period in my life from like freshman year of college until maybe like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that I had the worst anxiety, worst depression, the most unhappy I've ever been.
And so where, like, do you look back on that now? I mean, obviously you've done so much because of that, right?
Yeah.
Your workout, your food, what you put in your body and what you put in your mind. You're obviously making huge steps for that, right? And you're very deliberate about it. Like, what do you think of now when you think of those moments in the past? And like you just traced how you got there, right? You were in college, you felt you were weird or you were a loner and you were drinking. And then on top of drinking,
like trying to fit in
antidepressants, and, yeah. Which is all sorts of fucked up chemically, right?
Oh, yeah,
it is. I mean, like they specifically say, I mean,
don't do it.
Don't
drink
when you're taking these drugs.
Yeah, I was dumbass that was like, I'm going to do this. And then I'm like, let's see if I can fly up a parking structure. Like that does not go.
Right. Right. So you've moved a vast amount.
I've improved a lot with my mental health, but it's still a daily struggle for me. But like with this podcast and like talking about all these things, I definitely don't want the podcast to always be very heavy, but I have publicly discussed my anxiety and my depression. And I wanted to address it early on. Since I do get a lot of questions from people that they're also struggling with the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And they're wondering like, what can I do? And to talk about it. And like a lot of people feel like they don't fit in. And a lot of people feel like they're going through life and they're unhappy and like things aren't going their way. And I live a very blessed life. I understand my privilege and I know that. But just because you are going through that doesn't mean that you also can't suffer from anxiety and depression. And I just want to make that clear, though, that like I am aware of how privileged I am. And I live such an amazing life. I get to do all of these. I mean, I played Riviera. I played, you know, like we've done so many amazing things that people haven't been able to do. But I was born this way. Like I, if I could choose to live my life without anxiety and depression, I would.
Well, you made enough disclaimers that you're privileged.
I know. I just wanted to make that clear because like I said earlier, like people have gone through much worse than me and like I'm very sensitive to that and I always want to make it clear that like I do understand my privilege and not a lot of people are as lucky as me or have the support system that I do. And that's why I want to talk about this, because I want to be that support system for them. And if I can share my story and I can be the voice and like, and give advice from people who have helped me that maybe they can't afford a therapist, or maybe they don't have, you know, two loving parents to, you know, talk to every single day, or maybe there's so many different reasons why people can't seek help. And so if I can at least tell my story and that helps them, then I want to be able to do that. But I have to recognize the position that I'm in and the privilege that I have, because that's very important to all of this.
Sure. And you're belaboring the point. Like, you are belaboring the point. And I appreciate that, because you're very humble about it. But you just saying that just tells everybody right across, it doesn't have anything to do with privilege or money or any of that. People go through it. You're one of them. It just so happens you have more than some others, but it actually is a human quality that you want to express and share with other people across the board. I think that's fine. And I think everyone knows.
Yeah. And like I said, something that I've like always dealt with, like I didn't have like hair growing up, 'cause I would like rip it out of my head. I know. I feel like I'm saying this stuff and people are like bullshit the entire time. But like,
oh my God, I love that's so awkward. That is so goddamn awkward.
So I was.
You said you didn't have any hair growing up.
I didn't. So people would call me like a bully. I'm like,
I actually had a friend who did that in like the second or third grade, and she'd get so stressed out she would constantly pull her hair.
Yeah.
So she had patches.
Yeah.
And I didn't partake in any of it, but I know that there were people that definitely gave her a hard time. But it like makes me so sad that people reach such a level of stress at such a young age. And I think that through social media, we're able, it almost seems like it's more heightened, but I think it's just allowing more vessels to show how many kids are struggling with it. And there's more, it's more open now.
Well, it's actually the medical condition as well, that stress can literally high schooler's hair fall out.
No. So like, this is how weird I was. I would, if people would come into our house, we had this like brown table and had like little holes underneath it. I would lay underneath the table and twist my hair and just pull it out, and I would stick the hair in like the holes. And that was like my childhood right there. This is so sad. No, I am so sorry, everyone. This is just like, this is making everyone just feel very like, this girl.
I have one more question, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot to debrief.
It's just like, we need to change it to playing around and just like, Paige does therapy.
Listen, we're here to listen to you all day, any day. God, yes. You go through all this really tough times.
Yeah.
And then you enter golf. Golf is all about precision and not so much in your golf game, but like in life, it's about putting on a good face. Mm-hmm. It's having perfect hair. It's, you know, the visor. It's the perfect highlights. Like, everything is very country club. So how did you navigate that? Or did you ever have any hesitations of pursuing golf in that reason? I don't know. Maybe that sounds shallow on my end, but it's like entering into a sorority where you kind of feel like you're not going to fit in, but you're doing it anyways to like really find a place, but it kind of ends up backfiring on you, 'cause you're like, I'm going to go join this club. I'm going to go be a part of something that I'm more a part of. Like, how did you navigate that in the country, quote unquote, country club realm?
Good question, producer.
Jordan. Yeah. So I think that goes back to like never fitting in and feeling like a fraud, and especially like in my own community, where like there were times where my family did have a lot of money, but most of the times we didn't have a lot of money. And so like, I couldn't afford some of the best facilities or the best clothes or the new clothes or all of this stuff. So I had to find things in my closet. And so that's why like I had tank tops. So I would wear tank tops, and then I would get kicked off the golf course. And,
oh shit.
Yeah.
I get it.
You get it now. So like, that's kind of where it started. And so,
and there's
like
a little bit of a chip on your shoulder about it too.
Definitely. And I think like I find, so like in high school, I would clean the pro shop so I would have a place to play. And so we were a member of a country club for like a couple years when my family was doing well. And then something happened and we pretty much just lost everything. And so I had to clean the pro shop to get, you know, golf balls, or I had to do junior golf camps to, you know, have a place to play, or I had to, you know, work on the side to do all these other things. And so I feel most at home at a beat up driving range where it's, you know, $2 for a bucket of balls and people are wearing cut off jean shorts. And that's where I feel most at home. And so, like, I have this like love hate relationship with playing courses like Cypress or Riviera, going to Augusta, because it's everything I hate about golf. It golf is elitist, it's stuffy, it's exclusive, and I hate that because I am not that, and I was never welcomed in, and I'm still not welcomed in. And so it's like my whole life I'm trying to find a place where I can fit in and that I feel comfortable and that I feel at peace with myself, and I haven't found that. And golf is the absolute worst place for me to be because I am the exact opposite of everything that a golfer should encompass, should be. And I'm not, you know, I'm not refined. I'm raw and real, and I wear what I want. And I, you know, I just have always been so different, and golf is not that way. And it's like you're, it's an act, you know. I feel like everyone in golf is just playing this part of like this perfect golfer, when in reality it's nothing like that either. They call it a gentleman's game, but those guys definitely don't act like gentlemen a lot of the times.
Yeah. Wow. That's a whole lot.
That's
right there.
That's Mamba mentality.
There's just a lot.
That is Mamba mentality.
There's just so much hypocrisy in golf. And it's so frustrating for me because a lot of things happen, and it's this big boys club where it's like if someone does something, they'll kind of cover that up and whatever it may be. But I wear like a tank top and I'm the slut and I'm the whore and I'm the one that's ruining the game. And I am, you know, it's this gentleman's sport and I'm ruining that. I'm ruining the tradition. I'm doing all this stuff. And it's like, so yeah, I'm not going to feel like I fit in when everything that I do, I'm an outcast all the time. People even like, it's always like the professionals, or like there's always these little cliques in these communities, and I'm a part of like the Instagram golf girls, the IG golf girls, and they don't even like me. So it's like there's never a place in my life. As a child, I wasn't fit in. I didn't fit in because I was bald. No one wanted to hang out with me. And then in elementary school, I was homeschooled. High school, I was homeschooled. College, I was the weird homeschooled kid. And then I tried to be the party girl, and then I was like the crazy party girl that, again, no one wanted to hang out with because
you were crazy.
I was the crazy party girl. And then it's like, then now it's like, I'm the outcast golfer, you know, and it's just like, I'm so tired of it. Honestly, it's like people always say, don't, you know, mind the trolls. And it's not the trolls. It's like, this is everyday life stuff. This is not things that are happening to me online. Like people will come up to my face and say these things. Like I wanted to help this charity out and I wanted to give them free golf clubs. And the guy wrote back and he said, you know, we would love to, but because of the way our board members view you, you can't help out. And so it's like, I want to give back to these kids who don't have anything because I grew up not having anything. And I can't even fucking do that because of my cleavage.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Okay, so that you're right. That sucks, but that you... And don't, so it's, you can't stop, right?
No,
you
and
can't
I'm not. Stop. And I think that's why like this podcast is really important to me, because I want to talk about this stuff because it's happening. And it's a really serious problem because golf is so much fun. Like, I might shit on it a lot because of a certain group of people, but when you go and you just hang out and you have a really great time, nothing is better than playing a twilight round of golf with your buddies at whatever course it may be and just enjoying it. That's what golf is. It's a community. We bond over having a common interest and we all love the same thing. We all are fighting for the same thing. I don't understand why it matters if you're wearing a polo and I'm not wearing a polo.
Right.
We're all out there trying to get along, have a good time, and play the stupid game, and we're chasing a golf ball. That's it. It's not this serious. Like, we make it into this serious thing. It's like, you're not what, like, holding up this tradition of golf. If, like, a guy on tour wears shorts instead of pants, the world's not going to end. Like, in golf, people make all of these problems so serious, and it's not serious.
I think that
I'm getting so worked up right now.
No, and I wanted to say something in this, because you started off the podcast saying the exact same line that you just kind of ended it with. There's a lot of hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. As producer Tori, I don't know anything about golf.
Yeah.
So I understand it is a man's sport and whatever. So I'm really, it was amazing to hear you go through everything and how it still affects you, but I don't see it as like, I don't see it as hate coming or like anger coming from you. I see it as you being like, you want to break the mold and you've done it. And it's allowed you to get a voice and to be a light on the course, not the field.
Improvements.
And so I think that everything you've gone through, like I just had a breakthrough as to why you wanted to be on this podcast. It's just like, I really feel like I understood, like, you want everybody to know you are so opposite in the most beautiful way because there is no mold. You know, so it's like, come in any form or whatever you want, because this is where you are. And am I making sense?
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
even really more than just, that, even more than that, she's trying to give a voice to the tank tops out there.
People who want to play golf and who want to be into it, but they're so scared that they're going to, you know, get in trouble or not be allowed on a golf course. And that makes me so sad because golf has been such a positive outlet in my life. Outlet. Yeah,
outlet.
There we go. Golf has just been such a positive outlet in my life that it has helped a lot of my anxiety. Like, I'll go to the driving range and I'll just beat balls, and that makes me so happy. And like the rounds of golf that I have, like when we went to Cyprus, that was an amazing day that I'll never forget. And people need to experience that, you know. And that makes me so sad that people are so scared to go and play a sport. It's a sport.
Right.
Would you ever be scared to go play pickup basketball?
No, that's why golf is dying.
And people will say like, let's grow the game, let's grow the game. And they don't want to actually grow the game. They're not making positive steps to grow the game. They want to grow it only in the right, perfect way. You can't do that.
Right, and because they owe mortgage on their house on the 13th green.
Because they don't want to bring people like me into the game, because that's going to tarnish the reputation of what golf is. And that's the problem right there.
So listen, if you agree or even disagree to what Josh or Paige are saying, or if you feel like you identify with anything that's been said, if you're a Sigma new member and you want to reach out to us,
or
we would
a Kama
love
Sutra
to hear
member.
You, just email us at email us at par@iHeartRadio.com and follow us on Instagram at Playing Around Podcast, and DM us there too.
Send
we
us
look
messages,
at both.
Tweet us. And I want to hear everything.
And
from
I
want to
hear if anybody actually does think differently than you do. Because hey, fight your battle and let's start a conversation on that again. And if you struggle with mental health, I don't know, Paige. Do you know a place where maybe they could reach out? And
so, like I mentioned before, I work with Cyber Smile, which is the anti-bullying organization, and I've mostly just gone to them as a helpline, but there are other helplines out there that you can go to, and we should probably list them. I don't know them.
Oh, no. Can I list one too?
Yeah, do you want just list a couple?
Oh, no, because Boys Town, the charity that I work with, has an amazing hotline. They help thousands of teenagers and a higher. I don't have their. God, I have their chapstick in my car that has the hotline on
it. We're gonna put in the description of the podcast where you could reach out.
Okay.
But also, just know you guys are, all our listeners are so loved by us, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, like, you can always reach out to me, send me messages. I would love to talk to you guys. It's just, I want to help. I just really want to be someone they can count on. Because you can't count on a lot of people in life. And I want to be that person for them.
So Paige is there for you. Josh is there for you.
Yep.
Let's just.
And you should probably hit me up because, like, I figured it out that I have 1% of the followers that Paige has. So chances of me seeing it is probably a little better.
All right, we're going to
don't follow me up. Don't.
We're going to take a little break and then we're going to jump back in with just one quick little TNA to just send everybody off with some
positive vibes,
positive and new improvements in their swing,
golf game.
God, all right, let's take a break.
Grown like an oak.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com.
Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
So if you're listening to this and you're struggling with anything, dealing with mental health or just feeling lonely, there's a crisis line that's open 24/7 at 800-273-8255. Again, that's 800-273-8255. And you can text TALK to 741-741.
We are back from break.
This couch is so big.
You know, like when dogs like will circle and circle and circle until they find a spot. You're just trying to like find a spot on the couch right now. But we need to get into some TNA.
Thank God. Oh, right. Your TNA.
My type of TNA.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. This is from Kruger. Can you discuss beer cart girl etiquette sometime?
Okay. Yeah. Don't hit on her.
So she's the one that brings the drinks.
Yeah. So a beer cart girl, beer angel, most people like to call them. But basically, it's just a girl on a cart and she brings the drinks around. She has food. And most of the time, guys think this is like an open invitation to like hit on the girl because they're like, oh my God, she's bringing me beer and she's definitely into me. No, like this is her job. So you can be nice to her. Obviously, definitely be nice to her. Tip her well. And don't make it awkward. Like if you feel maybe like she's flirting with you, but like don't make it weird. Guys just come down and make it weird.
Okay, can I talk about this?
Because yeah,
I'm a dude and I've been playing golf all my life, so yeah. I know beer cart girls, right?
Yeah.
So there's a couple things about beer cart girls that I have grown into. Like
I don't really know. This isn't a thing for me, so I need your advice here.
Okay, so I play with a lot of guys in their 30s and 40s, sometimes even 50s, right?
Okay.
And so what we do with beer cart women, because a lot of them aren't even girls.
They're older.
They're like even older, is you're just really nice to them because we grew up, once we got of age and got a little more mature, we understand that you want to be friends with the bartender because then the bartender comes back to you when you want a drink, right? So the beer cart woman, if you're nice to her on 6, she'll hit you up on 13 right after you've finished up your drinks from 9. So I know you're glossed over, Producer Tori, but... And this is a drinking man's thing. So yes, you want to be nice and you want to be charming. And yeah. You want to give her a tip because guess what?
She's going to come back to you again.
Yeah. And who wants that job? She's not dying to be. No one grew up to be a beer cart woman.
Yeah.
This woman is in transition or it's a second job or it's whatever.
Because I hear from the other side from like my friends who have had to do it who are like my age. And they're like sometimes guys will cross the line. So like be nice, but also be respectful.
Okay, so then I'm going to go back to what used to happen, right? So I'm saying that now that you're right, be nice, and here's why.
But here's what happens with beer cart.
They flirt abuse. With you because they want the tip?
No. Oh. No. It's not her. They're her job. Guys that get cocky with other guys and testosterone's going and they've got a bet. And let's just say it's anywhere from 17 years old up to, I'm going to go ahead and say 35 years old. That whole group, they're the ones, they're the assholes, right? Because they are not only, they're trying to outdo each other with the, she's just another hole on the course. Sorry, that came out so wrong. Beer cart girls aren't holes. Beer cart girls aren't holes. No, that's not what I meant. Dude, she's just another challenge.
Nobody's listening to you for advice. Right now. I know. Nobody, everyone just blacked it off.
Kama Sutra. Sigma Nu. Sigma Nu. Get me out of here. No, I'm saying she's just another competition. She's not the 19th hole. She's just another competition. We're off holes now. And guys are so shallow, yeah, especially around other guys.
So advice would be nice because they'll come back to you again.
Yep.
And tip them well.
Yep.
And just like... That's it, right?
That's it.
And she's not a hole on the golf course.
And one more. One more.
Thank you.
Producer Tori.
Always get their names.
Yeah.
Always get their, like, when you're on a date with someone, yeah, and somebody, like, you're sitting at a table and they're like, oh, you know, whatever your name is, and they call you by your first name. It just means more personal, yeah, you know?
And thank you.
I would hope, Producer Tori, that you know someone's name if you're on a date with them.
I call them 19th hole.
Yes, try to know their name. That's absolutely always, it's always fun to do that, yeah, to anybody. Everyone always likes to be called by their name. And
that was actually pretty great advice. This is why we have you on the show, Josh.
Exactly. I have
just
a purpose.
Just for this one.
Oh, just the one?
Just this one question that I didn't know how to answer.
I thought we turned a corner, but no.
Okay, what's the next one? I think I got it. Okay.
You had to close out. Well, that's not how you wrap it.
Wait. Okay, so... So we need you for two things. We need you for the beer cart girl.
Yes.
And then also have her wrap a show because apparently I don't know how to do that.
Exactly. Structure.
I just talk about my life and then we just end it abruptly.
Which is how this is going to go for 200 to 400 episodes, okay?
Just don't cancel us before
that. Yes. You just keep doing you, PG. And I really want to thank you for your honesty. And I think there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to get something out of that. And they're going to turn the corner too. So thank you very much. And we have all sorts of bombs to drop in episode 5.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
We are wrapped.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.